south. It's either he caught a body, don't sleep, they watching. I watch CBS and I CBS, trying to track us down with GPS. Make a nigga wanna invest in PBS.
Watch what you watching. Fox keeps feeding us toxins. Stop sleeping, start thinking outside of the box and unplug from the matrix doctrine. And watch what you say, big brother was watching. Watch what you watching. Fox keeps feeding us toxins. Stop sleeping, start thinking outside of the box and unplug from the matrix doctrine. But watch what you say, Fox 5 is watching.
They say I'm all about murder, murder and kill, kill. But what about Grindhouse and Kill Bill? What about Cheney and Halliburton? The backdoor deals on all your fields. How's Nas the most violent person? Y'all no talent if it hit you. Bringing up my criminal possession charges with a pistol. I use Viacom as my firearm to let the lyrics split you. Who do you rely upon to shoot shells at Leviathan? I'm dealing with the higher farm. Fuck if you care of how I write a poem. Only Fox that I love was the red one. Only black man that Fox love is in jail or a dead one. Red rum, political bedlam. Don't let the hype into your eyes and eardrum. Murdoch on Fox, not 18 with Baracas. And he hate Barack cause he march with the marches. Marches.
I pledge allegiance to the fair and balanced truth.
Hey, Pedro, how are you?
Not the biased truth, not the liar's truth.
Hey,
Uhuru.
Yeah,
Uhuru. Uhuru, you are listening to Reparations in Action on UhuruRadio.com, the online voice of the International African Revolution. Reparations in Action is the weekly program of the African People's Solidarity Committee, the organization of white people working under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party, organizing in the white community for white reparations to African people. And we are very honored to have on our program today very special guests joining us from Sierra Leone, West Africa. We have a powerful leader of the African People's Socialist Party, Sierra Leone, Fenty Tali, joining us on the line. Uhuru.
Uhuru.
Uhuru. Uhuru. We also have with us the Secretary General of the African People's Socialist Party, USA, Gaida Cambone. It's an honor to have you here, SG Gaida.
Uhuru. Uhuru, Comrade Fenty.
And we also have with us Chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, Penny Hess.
Uhuru, it's an honor to be here, and uhuru to Fenty.
Uhuru.
And uhuru Fenty.
Uhuru.
Uhuru, right. Penny, how are you?
Good. It's so good to hear your voice.
Yeah, good to hear my too.
Uhuru. And we just want to give a shout out to our engineer, Eric, and our usual host, Jamie Simpson, who is sick right now. This is Jesse Neville of the African People's Solidarity Committee filling in for today. And we're really excited about today's program. The theme of this radio show today is All Diamonds Are Blood Diamonds, and it is in preparation for a special event and campaign that the African People's Solidarity Committee and our mass organization, the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, are holding, including an event on Wednesday night here in St. Petersburg called All Diamonds Are Blood Diamonds, in which we will be examining and exposing the history and current reality of the parasitic diamond trade that is built on the oppression of African people and the theft of their resources. And moreover, with this campaign, we are calling for white people not simply to boycott diamonds, but to stand in solidarity with the struggle of African people to reclaim their diamonds and all of the wealth and vast resources of Africa for their own benefit.
And so, turn over diamonds.
Yes, exactly.
To the African People's Socialist Party.
We call on you to come to that event and bring your diamonds if you have them. And we are calling on white people to turn in those diamonds to Black Star Industries and the African People's Socialist Party. They go from being a blood diamond to a BSI certified liberated diamond that benefits the struggle of African people. So we're really honored to have Fenty Tali of the African People's Socialist Party, Sierra Leone, on the line today. And we have had Fenty on the show one time before in 2014, which was one of the most memorable programs that we ever had. So we're really excited to have you on today, Comrade Fenty. And we wanted to begin by asking you if you could tell our listeners a little bit about the conditions in Sierra Leone, politically, economically, in which you live and in which you and your comrades are fighting to build the African People's Socialist Party.
Uhuru Comrades.
Uhuru.
I want to thank you to bring me on board into your live ready show on the reparation. If I should talk about what are the political and economic conditions today in Sierra Leone, I want to start by saying something about the political conditions today in Sierra Leone. Now, as you all know, that this country has been in operations or has been in leadership for over 50 years ago when Sierra Leone became an independent. We have only two political parties here in the country. That is the All People's Congress, which is the APC, and we have the Sierra Leone People's Party, which is SLPP. If you look at these two political parties, even from the streets, what people are saying, it appears as if these two political parties, they came into power and they inherited bad tools from our former colonial masters, especially Britain, that is the British government, that came to this country and colonized the people in this area. Now, you can find out that the bad tools that they received from these of our colonial masters, it is the same thing again today that is actually going on in the country in the name of a democracy. Because if we are looking at the definition of what is democracy, democracy is a government of the people. But it does not appear as if the government in this country is for the people. And the definition also further says, democracy is the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. But it does not even appear that as if the government is for the people, by the people, and for the people. Because you go to different areas in the provinces, and even the capital city in Freetown here, where I located or where I reside, you hear people telling you that the next coming 2018 election in the country, they are not going to participate. And if you kept on hearing people saying that they are not going to participate in the 2018 election that is coming in the country, that is a clear manifestation that the president in government, which is the All People's Congress, APC, have not done much, you know, to address the conditions of the people in the country. And if you also look at the other political party, which is also the Sierra Leone People's Party, which is SLPP, that is headed by a former junta military personnel by the name of Mada Biyo, their political party also has got series of problems. They are in court, they are from court, they are in court, they are from court almost every day. This is what is going on. So this is a clear indication to tell you that these political parties, they have more interest to sit on power than even to seek the interest of the people in the country. So looking at the political aspect in the country, well, I'm saying that the two political parties have not done anything to improve the lives of people in the country. In fact, that is why, as a chairman of the African People's Socialist Party, I am calling on all Sierra Leoneans in this country and all Sierra Leoneans in abroad that we are tired of these two political parties as they have not done much for the people, and that there is a need for us to form the African People's Socialist Party, which is the poor people's party, which is the masses' party. So, that is how actually I look at it into the political aspect conditions of the country presently. That the leaders, our political leaders, whom we believe that they're supposed to have leaders, are not actually working into the interest of the people. But they are there to make sure they maintain the status quo of holding power, maintaining power in order for them to continue their relationship with our imperialist colonial masters. So that is why I am saying here we are actually looking for a neutral political party which has an agenda for the African people. That is why we are working hand and glove to make sure the APSP become a political party in this country. Now, if I should move to the socio-economic activity of the country or the economic activity of the country, my brother, it is terrible. Up to date, there are people who are living on $1 in the country here, which is a clear indication that the livelihood of people in the country is not actually doing well at all. And the government has not done much, you know, to address the socioeconomic activities of the people in the country. You go to the market. Presently, I am standing in one of the most famous beaches in the country called Kent Beach. If you come here, you look at the number of Sierra Leoneans that are on the beach, enjoying, partying, doing everything in celebration of the Valentine's Day, which is an imperialist celebration. You will work. People are talking of economic situations being very difficult. But you come to the beach, you see thousands of youths are on the beach, partying, enjoying, doing almost everything. Well, I do not believe it actually symbolizes that the livelihood of people is actually good. But people are outside here to make sure they socialize together, they discuss their political issues, their socio-economic activities that are actually affecting them, and that is why they are here. Because I've been having some discussions with a good number of people I've seen in the beach here, telling me different stories about the political and socio-economic activities that are actually going on in the country, that things have not even changed up to date. I want to believe this country is over 50 years after experiencing the independence. But up to date, the socio-economic activity of the people is very poor. If you are not connected to any political party in this country, you find it very difficult to get a job, even if you are from the university. So this is a whole range of activities that are actually happening here. Life is very difficult, and things are actually going very, very bad in the country. Uhuru.
Uhuru, Uhuru, thank you so much. We're on the line. For anyone who's just tuning in, we're on the line with Fenty Tali, the chair of the African People's Socialist Party, Sierra Leone. And I think it's so clear from what we just heard that imperialism reigns supreme in Sierra Leone, despite which of those political parties is in power. They are instruments of imperialism, and that's why the African People's Socialist Party must lead and must win. And before I turn to our guests in the studio here for some discussion, I want to ask you another question. Comrade Fenty, you mentioned Valentine's Day, and part of why we wanted to hold this interview with you is because today is Valentine's Day, when in European and North American communities, many diamonds are exchanged by white people, and the diamond, we are taught, is the highest symbol of romantic commitment and love and all those types of things. And as we understand, the diamond industry looks quite different for African people, including in Sierra Leone. Could you tell us about the reality of the diamond industry as it exists there in Sierra Leone?
An interesting question, and it's a question I think I have so much interest in to actually address. Because if you look at blood diamonds, blood diamonds are also called plastic diamonds. Mm-hmm. They are also called converted diamonds. They are also called hot diamonds or war diamonds. If you look at the word blood diamond, this is a term that is used for diamonds that are mined in a war zone and that are sold somewhere like America, in Belgium, in England, in France, to finance certain insurgencies that are happening in Africa. Yeah. And we have an invading armies, war effort or warlord activities that is going all over Africa. And we believe that these diamonds that we refer to as blood diamonds or conflict diamonds or converted diamonds or hot diamonds or war diamonds, that these diamonds have been used in order to fuel much of the wars that are actually happening in Africa, especially like in Angola. As you could remember, Angola is a colony of the it's a colony that was actually colonized by the Portuguese. And if you think of Ivory Coast, it's also another area. If you think of Liberia, Zimbabwe, and Sierra Leone, all these countries are countries that have the timber mining soil, that people mine and extract diamond from those places. But this term is used to highlight the negative consequences of diamond trade in certain areas, or to label an individual diamond as having come from such an area. Diamond mines during the recent civil wars in Angola, Ivory Coast, and Sierra Leone, and other nations have been given the label, the term conflict resources, or whatever you have to look at it. But we believe that most of these diamonds that have come from this area that I've called, ranging from Angola, Ivory Coast, Liberia, Zimbabwe, and Sierra Leone, all these diamonds are blood diamonds. And if you look at the socioeconomic activity of people or the condition of people that are living into those areas, they are very much deplorable. Now, if you take an example of Sierra Leone, the largest mining area in this country is from Kano District. Now, if you go to Kano District is a complete dilapidated zone wherein the whole of the community or the whole of the country is being engaged in alluvial mining. So you can find out that the whole of the district of Kano District is full of, full of mining sites. And these sites are no longer accessible to farmers in order for them to do their farming activities. And these areas are no longer even accessible for construction, like roads, or even building houses. So, to me, it appears as if the diamond mining in this country appears to be a cause in this country, in Africa, as it actually was supposed to have been a blessing to the people. You know, there is nobody that can boast that I have gained so much from the diamonds, you know, from Africa. That is why I am happy, because the APSP has took the lead, the African People's Party has took the lead to make sure that the area of reparation, side by side with our solidarity and committee, to make sure all blood diamonds are to be returned to Africa. Mm-hmm. Especially to Sierra Leone. Now, I'm saying this to some of our listeners in the U.S. and some other areas in the world, that the diamond married rings that you have in your rings are blood diamonds. You are to turn them back to the African People's Socialist Party or the African Solidarity Committee. And I'm also calling in order for people to know that all diamonds that they put into their earrings, ranging from England, America, Belgium, and some other places, all these diamonds are to be tendered back to Africa through the African People's Socialist Party or the Solidarity Committee that is working hand in glove with the African People's Socialist Party. I'm saying all those who are having these diamonds in their houses, in the form of furniture, in their homes, in a form of any other way they may think of it, even in their hands, you know, even in their rings, that these diamonds that you have, these are blood diamonds, and they are to be returned back to Africa through the African People's Socialist Party and our Africa Solidarity Committee. So if I should count it all, diamonds are more of a curse in Africa than a blessing as it's supposed to be. So I'm very much happy having me interview into the Huru News radio station in Florida to make sure that we bring out these issues, that all blood diamonds that have caused so much death, so much African death, ranging from Sierra Leone, Liberia, Angola, and some other areas in Africa, that we are calling all those who participated into this activity to tender all their diamonds back to the African people, because they are the people that rightfully own those resources. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Uhuru. I think the call rings loud and clear that white people, you know, the voice of Sierra Leone has spoken. Turn those diamonds in, turn those blood diamonds, all diamonds are blood diamonds, turn them into the African People's Socialist Party and the Uhuru movement. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Comrade Fenty Tali, the chair of the African People's Socialist Party Sierra Leone, and we are going to continue speaking with Fenty Tali. We have also in the studio with us Secretary General Gaïda Cambone, who is the Secretary General of the African People's Socialist Party and organizes here for the liberation of African people, and has also been in Sierra Leone and seen and experienced the conditions there. Secretary General Gaïda, what has been going through your mind as we've been speaking with Fenty today?
You know, I'm so happy that the party did go into Sierra Leone and recruited Fenty and others. You know, we are doing a lot of extensive work in Sierra Leone. You know, we have done a clean water project through one of our organizations, ABDEP, All African People Development and Empowerment Project. We've done a project early on when we first went in with the maternal mortality, because Sierra Leone has the highest maternal mortality rate in the world. This means women dying in childbirth, and you've heard Fenty talk about just one of the, you know, the richnesses in Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone is not only rich in diamonds, but also gold and, you know, aluminum and a whole lot of host of other things, minerals, you know. It's a very wealthy place in terms of, you know, what the country itself yields from the earth. But in contrast to that, the misery, the dying, you know, the life expectancy. When I first went into Sierra Leone, the life expectancy was in the 30s, you know. And when you look at that in the context of Africa, you know, bringing civilization into being, you know, that Africa, you know, was the place where civilization began. And then to see that, you know, some years later, you can hear of a maternal mortality rate the highest in the world, and the whole life expectancy in the 30s, you know, while in this country you had white people living in the hundreds, you can actually see the contrast, and there's a direct correlation between those two. The things that we're talking about with the diamond, et cetera, there's a direct correlation. The actual life of the people are sucked out of them. You know, and you can actually see it when you're in a place like Sierra Leone, the place that he talked about where the diamond was harvested. When I first went in there, the road to Sierra Leone, I mean to Kono, the place where the diamonds were, you couldn't believe it. People, when you told them you were going to Kono, were saying, you're taking your life in your hands, you can't even drive there. You know, and it was such a hard drive that when you got there, your whole body was beat up, because the road was so bad, and then there was just constantly blasting and digging, and the people that lived there was being displaced. They didn't never even told them when they were going to dig, I mean, when they were going to blast. They just blasted, and the people ran out of their houses, and they would blast randomly, you know, for the diamonds. You know, the people had to stay out of their homes until they finished with the blast, and they never gave them a time schedule. And you saw holes everywhere in this place. Finally, they displaced most of the people from that location, and all of it was blasting for diamonds. And like he said, the people in Sierra Leone saw the diamond as a curse. It had nothing to do with anything that they can contribute, you know, that they can compare to with living. It meant nothing for them but misery and death. And so, you know, the fact that there was no electrical grid when I went there, and this was really 2000 and maybe 2008, 2009, no electrical grid. They had generations that never knew what it was to flick a switch. There was no, there was no light. You know, Africa as a whole, as a continent, if you went into space and looked at the continent, it's the darkest place on the planet. You know, there's no electricity. Yet, you know, the Germans were running, talking about running, what do they call some kind of a harvesting mechanism through the Sahara Desert to bring electricity to Germany from Africa, but they were bypassing all of these places in Africa, stealing even the electricity. They steal the soil. You know, we have pictures of them carting out the soil by the, you know, continuously trains of 100 caboose just taking the soil, whereas before they would have the soil processed there and at least some people could get a job for a dollar or whatever it is they pay them to sift the soil. Now they were actually taking the soil, putting them on barges and taking them out of the country to Europe to process for whatever mineral they were looking for. This is how deep it is. There was no hospitalization. There's no such thing as health care. Absolutely no health care, no medicine. One of us got sick there. It was amazing what, you know, to when we actually tried to help this comrade who got sick when he was over there, when what we saw posturing as some kind of a hospitalization. No electricity in the hospital, no food, no water, no medicine. You know, we had to get him out into England. This is what these people face every single day. So, I mean, it is the clearest example that I can see of parasitism. You know, meanwhile, you see the British and where they live, there's electrical grid. The Chinese have bought up all of the waterfront. You know, the government constantly, like he talked about, the government constantly giving away all of the land, everything to these foreign so-called investors that are stealing the resources out of Africa. So it is outrageous. People are dying from malaria. You know, malaria, everybody's got malaria. Now Ebola, you know, Ebola took over where the malaria was. So it is really a very, very dismal picture. But yet the people are so full of hope and so, you know, so resilient. There is no such thing as cooking on the inside. Everybody is chopping wood, carrying woods, hauling water from the well. There's no such thing as running faucets. It's just, I mean, It is hard to speak about, you know, the situation in Sierra Leone as somebody going from a place where we take so much for granted. But I think the thing with the party having the insight to understand that we have to liberate Africa. We have to unite Africa. We got to remove the borders. Sierra Leone is only one place where there is these resources. All throughout Africa is the same situation, and we have the same resources. They have looted it for some 600 years, and there's still plenty. And so we have to remove the borders. We have to unite Africa and, you know, unite African people with 1.5 million strong so that we can overturn this reality that our brothers and sisters are facing in Sierra Leone. So Sierra Leone is the African People's Socialist Party. There is just the Sierra Leonese front of the African People's Socialist Party as we build the African Socialist International throughout the world. You know.
You're listening to Reparations in Action here on uhururadio.com, and the theme of today's program is All Diamonds Are Blood Diamonds. We have on the line Fenty Tali, the chair of the African People's Socialist Party Sierra Leone, in the studio Secretary General Gaida Cambone, and we're also joined by the chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, Penny Hess. Chairwoman Penny, we've heard about the conditions in Sierra Leone, and as SG Gaida just mentioned, the fact that there is no electrical grid. And Chairman Omali Yeshitela once said that the lights in Manhattan go on because there are no lights in Sierra Leone, and that Africa is not poor, Africa is being looted. You wrote a pamphlet called All Diamonds Are Blood Diamonds. Could you talk to us about the history of the diamond trade and how it relates to the overall system of the colonization, the colonial domination, and theft of Africa's resources that built the wealth of Europe and the U.S. and the white world?
Uhuru, well, it's an honor to be on the show today and to be able to hear from Chairman Fenty Tali, who's the head of the African People's Socialist Party in Sierra Leone. And, you know, I would just say really quickly that from the Solidarity Committee, we're really clear that white people owe reparations to African people, that that the situation with the diamonds, the reality that in Sierra Leone, 70% of the population lives below $1.25 a day, and that the there's at least 140,000 diamond diggers, which is, you know, we often say that they get a dollar a day, and a cup of rice. But that's not really true, because the people dig for diamonds are like independent contractors. And if they find something, then only one person can tell them what it's worth. And that's the person that, you know, that owns the diamond mine. So, you know, people are completely ripped off, don't make resources at all from the diamonds. And yet a huge percentage of people in the diamond, you know, trying to subsist on this scam called the diamond industry that makes billions of dollars for De Beers diamonds and the diamond cartels and some money for the government and neocolonialists, but nothing for the people. 140 or 50,000 Africans in Sierra Leone are tied to that. And, you know, they're dying from it. And the majority of them are children. And the children are used in the diamond mines. They put them on ropes and send them down into the deep recesses where they have to dig out more space in the diamond mines, in the actual mines. A lot of people are digging for diamonds right on the ground, but they also have deep holes where they send the children into, and so many of the children die in that process and have no rights whatsoever. I mean, we just think about the conditions, and yet how in the United States, 80% of all people that get married, of women who are engaged, have diamond rings, diamond engagement rings, 80%. So this is, you know, really, really clear that the resources are stolen, that that this is part of colonialism, which has gone in the European assault on Africa, that was also stole African human beings to enslave African people, whose wealth built the power and wealth of the United States and Europe. And Africa is still being colonized today for the benefit of white people at the expense of African people themselves. And that's why we stand in solidarity with the right of African people to their entire continent of Africa, the return of all of their resources, minerals, diamonds, gold, platinum, etc., and to be able to have reparations returned to African people. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Uhuru. Thank you, Chairwoman Penny Hess, the African People's Solidarity Committee. I want to turn back to Chairman Fenty Tali of the African People's Socialist Party, Sierra Leone. Comrade Fenty, you spent 3 months in St. Petersburg, Florida, I think it was, or several months. And you were very active and actually a powerful and beloved organizer in the African community of South St. Petersburg. And when we interviewed you at the time, I remember that you made a very powerful statement that the only difference between the oppression of African people in the U.S. and the oppression of African people in Sierra Leone is that in the U.S., Africans are oppressed on paved roads, and in Sierra Leone, Africans are oppressed on dirt roads. But that the conditions are very similar. Could you tell us more your impressions of the conditions of African people inside the United States as you experienced during your time here?
Yeah, Uhuru, comrade. Once more, I think the Solidarity Committee in this country, I mean in the U.S., are actually doing what I say, what I consider as a remarkable event that you people have done. And I am actually urging all of the white people, it doesn't matter wherever you're located, either you're in Africa, either you're in the U.S., either you're in Britain, to make sure you become a part of this Solidarity Committee. Because we believe that the Solidarity Committee that is now working with the party is actually in the right footing. And we want to say thanks to them for this. I've spent about 5, 6, or 7 months in the United States, especially in Florida. And what I realized is that we Africans, we are not that much too far in terms of our conditions. It does not matter where they belong. You know, some time back, I was moving around the Tampa Bay, trying to have some members being registered as either party of Impidom, APDEP, or APSP. And I realized that the coalitions of Africans in the United States with those of us that are in Africa, it's almost we are almost in the same sense of sameness. You know, I mean, we are almost the same. And in fact, I want to even believe that they are experiencing the worst. Because you live in a country wherein for every moment you walk at the street, just because you've been black, you're expecting the police to come down and ask you about your, you know, about your identity, about your personality, where you're going from, where you're coming from, what you're doing. All these things are things that are terrible. Where in Africa, we have not been able to experience most of those things here. Because here, most of the police are members of the, you know, are members of the various communities. We talk together, we do things together, but we do realize also they are our enemies. You know, we live together, but they work for the state. So all these are things I've realized in the U.S. that the brutality of the police, of black people in the United States, and even the colored, you know, are facing a series of problems over there. You know, I have not actually seen much difference, you know. The only difference I've seen is they can say, well, they are in the U.S., maybe what they are experiencing there with what we are experiencing in Africa, you know, as Africans, could not be the same from what they are experiencing there. But in terms of conditions of poverty, I've seen it clearly. I've seen black people in the U.S. even begging money in the streets. I've even seen white people in the U.S. even begging money into the stores, asking for people to give them a 50 cent. So, I'm saying I've not seen much. You know, the differences of the conditions of which Africans experience in the U.S. and the conditions we experience in Africa. It's almost the same. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Uhuru. Thank you, Fenty. We heard a lot about, in the U.S., we heard about Sierra Leone in the news over the past year with the supposed outbreak of the Ebola virus. And, you know, we were told by the U.S. media that this was just some kind of virus that broke out. And we understand from the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party that this was another example of an imperialist attack on African people, and something that was could only happen under the conditions that imperialism has inflicted upon Africa, including Sierra Leone. Could you tell us about what it's been like there in Sierra Leone with the Ebola situation and the work of the African People's Socialist Party and APDEP, the All African People's Development and Empowerment Project, Project Black Ankh, that was created to respond to the Ebola crisis?
Yeah, comrades, I think I have to say what I think is the correct thing here. You know, in fact, before the outbreak of Ebola, I was traveling from the U.S. back to this country, Sierra Leone or Africa, and it's like it was very much terrifying. You know, people asking me, "You going back to Africa?" And there, this Ebola. But that's one thing I believe that Africa is my home and is the only home that I have. So, well, I cannot say because I have seen this happening in most of the youth in Africa, and that is a struggle we are struggling with them. The passion that people have for the West is what I don't understand. So all these are issues we actually want to struggle. That the stories that people are getting about America and some other places does not actually reflect to what people are actually thinking about. Now, I've been to the United States for some time, especially in Florida. I've gone through most of the places, and I've seen much of what the African population they undergo in terms of suffering and other things. So the area of Ebola in the country, we believe this is an attack to the African people. Because we are very much offended and familiar with a certain stories that has happened 20 and 30 years back. That some time back, white people came to this country and they went down to the east. And the eastern province of this country is highly forested. They went to a particular area known as the Gola Forest. They went there, they carried Matatin and Rishat, which we believe is best known to them, and not much of it is being even known by people of this country, even those that claim that they have been working with these people. We believe it was from those days that white people brought Ebola in this country, you know. But today, it appears as if it is something that the government in this country has even to accept some rules and regulations, claiming that any Sierra Leonean who goes out in the streets and just says that Ebola it is something that is manufactured by the white people to Africa, that person is going to face some amount of discipline. So all this is some of the problems. But I do believe, as a leader of the African People's Socialist Party, that the war that we face in this country, of which hundreds of Sierra Leonean lives have been taken, not only from Sierra Leone, but even Liberia and Guinea, that this is a counterinsurgency that the white people are using against black people to the aim of what? Molesting and demoralizing the African population, you know, and trying to reduce the number of Africans in Africa. This is what we believe. So it's like we were very much happy because our organization, under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party, APDEP was able to come on the ground with a project Black Ang, wherein we made immense contribution in line with the suffering masses in the country, wherein the African People's Socialist Party, side by side with the APDEP, All African People Development and Empowerment Project, were able to bring in donations, wherein over 50 families were able to be assisted, being rescued out of the Black Ang, supplied with food items and sanitary materials. So it's like I'm saying that the Ebola virus in this country, in Sierra Leone, and some other parts in West Africa, like Guinea and Liberia, that this is a counterinsurgency that the white people are doing against Africans in order to reduce our lifespan and to make sure we Africans will remain into the condition in which we are today. But we are thankful because the African People's Socialist Party, APSP, and APDEP, with Project Black Ang, we are able to come into this country and contributed immensely to rescue over 50 families to make sure they were able to survive as they are today. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Uhuru. Thank you, Chairman Fenty, for that clarifying analysis. And it's so clear that what we see in Sierra Leone is counterinsurgency, and it's another example of genocide carried out by Europe and by the U.S. against African people there. And white people, we can't respond with charitable tears and sending a penny a day or something like that. We have to respond with material solidarity with African revolution and reparations. White reparations to African people is the only honest response to reparations that we see in Sierra Leone and all throughout Africa and everywhere where African people exist and face the same genocidal conditions as you so eloquently explained. I want to turn to Secretary General Gaida Cambone once again. What are your thoughts on this Ebola crisis and its role as a tool of counterinsurgency and genocide?
Well, I mean, it's not hard to conceive that that imperialism would wage genocide against any population. I mean, this is something that they have historically done.
Right.
We know what they did to the native people with the smallpox blankets. We know about the Tuskegee experiments. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that this is a way, like Fenty say, to control the resources, to thin out, kill out the population, and this is a place where they're harvesting a lot of resources. The question is right now that with the crisis of imperialism that exists in the world today, all roads lead back to Africa. It's not surprising to see Ebola pops up at this time, because all of imperialism is now looting Africa. This is what save white people during slavery. I mean, that's what happened. Slavery was a way to rescue Europe. And I think that it's now a way to rescue all imperialism, it is good that the people there are not fooled by it, Fenty and them, they were courageous because they did, and you can see the clear complicity of the government. Mm-hmm. The government is saying that they can't even go out in the street to educate each other that this is part of a counterinsurgency and this is something brought in by white people. Mm-hmm. They are, and that's, who is that protecting? That's protecting the looters. That's protecting white power. That's protecting, making sure and guaranteeing that they can continue to loot the country. And it is raging more so in Sierra Leone than any place else. They've told us out here in the West that, okay, that Ebola is gone from places like Guinea, but it seems to stay in Sierra Leone. I think that a lot of education has to be done. It wiped out a lot of people. A lot of people died throughout the West Africa. It's amazing that places like Nigeria wasn't hard hit. Places, the more, I guess, the population or the government is developed, the less it seemed to have affected. But even if it wasn't a disease that we understood as counterinsurgency, the conditions there makes them susceptible to just about anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been in Sierra Leone and seen them drinking water in a plastic bag with the amoeba swimming in the water. I have to say, don't drink that, And that's how bad that situation is. So they're susceptible. Anything can come through there to wipe the population out. But I am clear, and I think Comrade Fenty is saying that the brothers and sisters there are clear that this is, something that was brought in, by imperialism. And I didn't even know that there was this place called Bola, that they named Ebola after. He's talking about an area in Sierra Leone called Bola. So it's a woodsy area where white people first went in and started, testing and doing this, work that nobody knew. They were the secret work.
Right.
Which always means that they're up to no good and that they're fabricating stuff to steal the people's resources. So, I'm glad that Abdep was able to do what he said, go in, because from Ebola, there's all kinds of, a repercussion. It really attacked and wiped out even the customs. Because Africa was a place, and especially in Sierra Leone, the thing that you noticed the most when you were there is the harmony of the people, how they depended on each other, how the people protected each other, even in poverty, that the people protected, each other, and that they shared. And with the Ebola virus, what it began to do is did something similar to what they did in this country with welfare. It began to make them individuals, because now the community was attacking each other. Everybody was suspicious of somebody that had Ebola. People were staying away from different relatives, and that is deep. That means a lot when people, the community right. now becomes separated. That facilitates, that's that same, separate, divide and conquer. Genocide. It facilitates genocide.
Right.
It facilitates looting. It facilitates all this. So it seems that it's clear that is, that this is what was happening, that is happening, that this genocide.
Uh-huh. Penny Hess.
Uhuru, I totally unite with the analysis that this was counterinsurgency. The U.S. line is that a child in Sierra Leone was playing with a bat, and the bat had the Ebola, but that's ridiculous. But the fact is that Tulane University, and there's several other labs that are in the countryside of Sierra Leone, right where the Ebola sparked up, and it's well known, it's a fact. And they were supposedly studying Lassa fever and dengue, and which are very similar to Ebola. It's pretty obvious that it was planted there on purpose. The conditions that Fenty and S.G. Gaida just described about the conditions of people in Sierra Leone, when you read about how many hundreds of years that colonizers, white colonizers, have stolen the resources from Africa, that you would think there would be hardly anything left. But actually, I read a report that the majority of resources in Africa are as yet untapped, mm-hmm. that they haven't even mm-hmm. touched wow. it yet, and that they want the land. Mm-hmm. Just like mm-hmm. Cecil Rhodes said, I love this land. I hate the Africans. He didn't wow. use the word Africans. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, it's really the whole goal and aspiration of the African People's Socialist Party to get rid of the borders mm-hmm. that were set upon, forced upon Africa to exploit the land, mm-hmm. the resources, and also to settle white people mm-hmm. and to murder and commit genocide against the Africans is really clear, mm-hmm. and that the right of African people to all their land, the return of all their resources, and the work of APTEP and the party there is profound. And, you know, I just want to say again, solidarity with the right of African people to their land, to their resources, and the return of the stolen wealth. And that's why we say white reparations to African people. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Thank you, Chairwoman Penny Hess and SG Gaida. We have about 9 minutes left here, so I'd like to, as we wind down our program today, just turn back to Chairman of the African People's Socialist Party, Sierra Leone Fenty Tali. Comrade Fenty, if you have any closing remarks for us in this last few minutes here.
You mean if I have any contribution to make?
Yes.
I think this is just to support a comic guide from what she said, that if you come to Sierra Leone and you look at the way people live, you know, looking at all the minerals that we have in the country, you know, ranging from diamond and even gold, you will do realize that the socioeconomic status of this country has not been able to reflect into the lives of people, you know, and the country here. And even for now, if you could remember, a few months ago, this country has been declared as Ebola-free. But about 2 weeks ago, again, in the north, a place called Maburuka, I think there was somebody that also died from that end, and there is a claim that that person is also affected with the Ebola virus. But what happened was that the people that are living, the masses that are living into these areas, are saying that they have had much of Ebola. So there is no way this time, after Ebola has been declared free, the government is saying that there is a new case again in the country in a way of just making money. Because it's hard to believe that at any time an Ebola issue is being alarmed in the country, more money is coming into the country in order for those that have been, they are making money, still continue to go to school in making money. So it's like we are saying that for now in Sierra Leone, we believe Ebola is no longer in the country, but these are just ways that our political leaders are making in order for them to make more money at the expense of the people in the country. Mm. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Secretary General Gaida, any closing remarks?
Yeah, I just think that everything that we've heard today just proves the significance of the whole question of the African Socialist International. That, you know, the race is on for Africa right now. Europe is again re-entering Africa, all of Europe, and not only them, the Chinese, and everybody's trying to solve their problem, the economic problem, by, you know, once again looting Africa. So everybody's got an Africa plan. And this is the time for us to have, you know, Africans, the 1.5 billion or so Africans dispersed around the world, this is our time to have our Africa plan and to have our Africa. We have to unite. I think the party's right on point, you know, with the African Socialist International, you know, building fronts everywhere Africans are located so that we can have one Africa, one nation, to remove the border you know, of Africa, and to unite African people to reclaim Africa and to go, you know, to reclaim all of our resources, you know, in Africa. So I think that we are in a, we're poised in a good place to make, bring that to fruition, because we've seen, you know, what has happened subsequent to, you know, the rape of Africa, and that is, you know, when you look at the way the world is today, it started with the rape of Africa, and to, you know, to overturn this and to bring it back to some place where Africans can live, you know, a decent life, where we can, you know, stop this hemorrhaging that all of Africa is doing, we're going to have to, you know, reclaim Africa. And we're going to have to free the world, you know, as we reclaim Africa. That's what's going to happen, turn this thing right side up, and to, you know, to free, you know, free Africa and free the world. So I think that, you know, that the thing that Comrade Fenty is talking about in terms of, you know, help, you know, uniting and organizing people in Sierra Leone as the Sierra Leonese front of the African Revolution, and all of West Africa, you know, because we are now located in several places. I think we can see, you know, the future. We can see the end, the demise of this whole imperialist system. So I'm encouraged by the work that Fenty is doing. I'm encouraged by the African People's Socialist Party strategy, the fact that, you know, imperialism's days, you know, are numbered right now, that we are winning, that we are moving forward, and that we are winning. And I just really salute the courage of those comrades, because if there's any lessons to be learned from Sierra Leone, is the resilience of the Sierra Leonese people. Mm-hmm. With all that I've seen, and to see the people of Sierra Leone and most of Africa with the same kind of, you know, stamina and conviction, you know, it just tells us that we will win, you know.
Uhuru. 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 Chairman Penny.
Uhuru, well, I just really appreciate the show, and I want to call on everybody who's here in St. Petersburg to come to the Uhuru Solidarity Movement event on Wednesday, and maybe Jesse can give more information about that, where we will talk about these same questions more deeply.
Wednesday night, 7 p.m., February 17th, at Aquaba Hall, 1245 18th Avenue South. We urge and invite everyone listening to come for All Diamonds Are Blood Diamonds, where Deputy Chair Ona Zene Yeshitela will be speaking on the struggle to build Africans 1 billion strong in the independent African economy, where Penny Hess will be speaking on the history and current reality of the diamond trade built on the oppression of African people, and we will also be showing a brief documentary footage featuring narration by our comrade, Chairman of the APSP Sierra Leone, Fenty Tali, who we have had the honor and pleasure of interviewing on our program today. So that is Wednesday night, February 17th, in St. Petersburg, Florida, at Aquaba Hall, 1245 18th Avenue South. You can find information on uhurusolidarity.org, uhurunews.com, on our Facebook page, Uhuru Solidarity Movement, and we really encourage you to come and bring your friends and family, and bring your diamonds, and turn them in to the African People's Socialist Party and Black Star Industries, so that they go from being blood diamonds to Uhuru diamonds, BSI certified liberated diamonds in the hands of African people whose labor produced them to begin with. So I just want to express my profound appreciation for all of our guests today, especially for Fenty Tali joining us from Sierra Leone, West Africa. Uhuru to you, Comrade Fenty. Thank you so much for being on the program today. And Secretary General Gaida Cambone, Chairwoman Penny Hess, and all of our listeners, please tune in again next Sunday at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time here on uhururadio.com. You've been listening to Reparations in Action. Go to uhurusolidarity.org. Join the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. White people, become involved, become organizers for white reparations to African people. We owe reparations, not just diamonds, but all of the resources of Africa are the birthright of African people everywhere. So we say solidarity, not charity, reparations now. Uhuru.
Your brain holder, slave culture, game's over. What's a fox characteristic? Slick shit, censored, misinformation, pimp the station, overstimulation. Perception, deception, Comcast, digital Satan. The fox has a bushy tail, and bush tails lies in fox trots. So I don't know what's real. Watch what you watching. Fox keeps feeding us toxins. Stop sleeping, start thinking outside of the box and unplug from the matrix doctrine. But watch what you say, big brother is watching. Watch what you watching. Fox keeps feeding us toxins. Stop sleeping, start thinking outside of the box and unplug from the matrix doctrine. But